Welcome to the My House Podcast, a show about the past, present, and future goings-on at the My House Youth Drop-In Center in Wasilla, Alaska, with your host, Michelle Overstreet.
Hi, welcome to the My House Podcast. I'm Michelle Overstreet, and I'm here with Isaac Smolden. This is episode 66 of the My House Podcast.
Yes. Hello, boss. Thank you for making the time. It is our annual tradition of reviewing our annual report,
yes,
which I am very excited about.
Isaac, you did a beautiful job of reformatting and organizing. It looks beautiful.
More pictures, everyone. There are a ton more pictures for you. I'll show this camera, sorry, for you to view. And a big part of that is because we wanted to include as many updates on the Carson Cottle Center as we could. I know you and I talked about that also recently on the podcast network. I will just add that I was there today shooting a bunch of footage for a video that may be out now by the time that this is done, and doing the walkthrough on the second and third floors with the concrete all poured and able to be worked on and half the thing framed in, it seemed like, practically on the third floor. It's really incredible how quickly it is being completed now that, you know, the ball is rolling downhill. I mean, there was surveys and meetings and walkthroughs of the property and buying the property and clearing the property. But as soon as that steel went in the ground, we're thinking that it might be done within 12 months of those first structural steel beams being placed into the property.
Yeah. And kudos to Watterson Construction. I think, building in winter in Alaska has to be an art as well as a skill. And there have been days where the wind was blowing 90 miles an hour or it was 25 below zero. And I call over and say, Paul, what's happening?
Yep.
And last week was one of those weeks. They were supposed to pour concrete and it was too cold to pour concrete. And I called over and said, how's it going? And he said, well, you know, we have a plan, then we have a backup plan, and then we have a plan B. And he said, it's too cold to pour the concrete, but we're building, putting studs up on the third floor. And so they just shred.
Yeah, shout out to some of the Premier Electric guys were there today. We have a ton of local subcontractors that are out there. So, you know, Watterson and Rachel Rutker at R Squared are MVPs overseeing everything, but we have a ton of all-stars working on it. JD Steel, Independent Steel, Slayton, Big Dipper Construction, Premier Electric, Rainproof Roofing. Those are just the ones I think that have worked on it so far, but there's more that will be a part of it as we get further along into the process and there's more interior work done, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, the concrete company, I don't know who was doing concrete.
Oh, man.
They were shredding away, man, pumping concrete in there. So, yeah, it's very exciting. The for those of you who are thinking, what building is this? In 2020, we received a congressional appropriation for $23 million to build a building designed after the Star Apartments, which is a building on Skid Row in LA that was designed for homeless people with retail spaces on the main floor that offered support services and job training. The second floor has wraparound services, so counseling, recovery services, things that they might need from case management, and the third floor is housing. And so we designed a building with the architect who was part of that Star Apartments team and who happened to grow up here in the Valley. He graduated from Colony High School and then got an architecture certificate from Harvard. And his company is called 64 North, and he now lives in L.A. but comes back and forth because his parents still live here. Mm-hmm. So it's been very fun. The building, somebody just said to me this morning, I was in another organization's board meeting this morning, and somebody said, that building is not just a landmark building. There's no building in Alaska that looks like that.
No. And again, shout out to the folks working on it, because a lot of unique, they had to do a lot of really kind of unique work in making everything come together, because there's a lot of really distinct angles and architecture. And it's not like any other building that I think a lot of those guys and gals have worked on before, but that is, you know, that has not stopped them one bit. They just hit that challenge head on and just keep on going, which is incredible to see.
It really is. The building concept actually came from the architect, Will Carson, meeting with our youth and talking with them. He basically sat down with a piece of paper and a pencil and said, what do you want your building to look like?
Yeah, I think that's our next page is our youth board of directors. I am just so proud of our group that we have that's been working as our youth board of directors over the course of the last year. We have two new members at election time and some of our founding board members transitioned away to focus on their careers and their lives and you know, just laid the bedrock for what has been a really transformative group. You know, that's part of the reason why we wanted to restructure some things and add some pages, because there's just so many cool pictures of our youth board in DC at our community meeting last year, in Juneau at some conferences. And you know, they've done the quote unquote big stuff, right? Gone and spoken about the work that we've done. But I think that really the impact of that youth board of directors comes from just those, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour meetings once a month when they're talking about what the doors on the building are going to look like or what the feel of the building needs to be. Hey, we want a window in this spot. We want the paint to be this color. I sat through a 2 hour meeting on paint color this year. And that's kind of the joke among the youth board of directors right now is, man, we had a 2 hour meeting about paint. But, you know, it's just stuff that you wouldn't consider if you didn't have a lived experience in, you know, being incarcerated or hospitalized or whatever the case may be. You know, they're so focused on making, you know, specifically the Carson Cottle Center, but everything that My House does as effective for our clients as possible. And they've done a killer job this year. I'm really excited to see what they work on here now and in the next year as well.
I'm so proud of this group. They're almost all of them work in the recovery field, helping other people. You know, there's nothing like getting out of a burning building and then carrying buckets of water back to try to save the other people who are still there. And that's what they're all doing. But also, I recently had somebody say to me, don't you find all the decisions that you have to make for a big capital project like the Carson Cottle Center exhausting? Like the minutia is so exhausting. You know, how do you decide what door handles to have and what paint colors? And I said, I don't. The youth decided all of that. I wanted them to be as involved as they could. And so any decision that wasn't governed by a fire code or something else, we passed on to them so that they could have a say, not just in the design of the building, but also how the outcome feels when you come into the building.
And that's why our building looks the way it does on the outside, too. I mean, that goes all the way back to either right after we had received the appropriation or maybe even right before when that the youth board at the time was advising Will and talking about, we want this to feel like a community. We want it to be really unique. You know, that A-frame element is in that initial drawing, and it's probably the most distinct part of the building, just like since day one, specifically with that project, but also just everything we do. I mean, it's a youth-led organization. We care about what our stakeholders, and our stakeholders are our clients, have to say, and what they say works for them. That's the stuff that we go out and do.
Yeah, that's it. I think there are a couple of other things coming up that I'm really excited about. Holly Getline is a local artist who has done art projects and art camps for the last 6 or 7 years with our clients. And you see that if you drive by our building, there's a mosaic with wings on the east side of the building and a sculpture out in front with a memorial garden surrounding it that has birds flying up through it. Holly teamed up with Judy Gum, who is a jewelry artist from Esther, Alaska. And actually we had a client who we were talking one day about sitting at the supper club talking about our art theme for the building. And one of the clients said, I like your pin. I think your pin would be a great art theme for the building. And I was wearing a Judy Gum pin called Here Comes the Sun. And everybody at the table said, oh, we love that. That's so awesome. And I called Judy and said, hey, Judy, you don't know me, but my name's Michelle. Here's what we got going. We're building this building. We got these kids that are interested. They like the pin. They wanted to know if we could use it for an art theme. And Judy came down from Esther, which is up by Fairbanks, and did an art camp with Holly and signed over all the rights for Here Comes the Sun, gave us many, many pins and tie pins and necklaces that are representative of that design to give away to people as we promote it. And so the kids are carrying that theme forward with the art. But Holly's going to be here this summer. She's going to do a camp. She's got other artists joining her, Misty Holler, Ozzy, our illustrator, is invited to do that. And so we're excited about pulling the art team together and having the youth guide the art team. I also want to mention James Havens, who is a local Alaskan artist, graduated Wasilla High School, and he donated over $30,000 in art prints for us to have art for every single 64 client beds, 32 client rooms, and he donated enough art for us to put probably 2 prints in every room. So every room has art.
We got art coming out the wazoo.
Yeah, right, we got now. Art. We got a lot of art, and the kids are excited about the art.
Yep, for sure. Also in our annual report, we actually have 2 pages talking about, I guess speaking of Ozzy, we have 2 pages talking about all the stuff that the studio and the communications department has been doing this year. I just included a bunch of our thumbnails. There's just a lot of smiling faces, which mm-hmm. I thought was
they're
cool.
Good.
And
they're good.
Like there's Nicola on there from My Voice. That
Love
was a great
Nicola.
Episode. Rabbi Mendy. I mean, how could we say enough good things about Rabbi Mendy and that partnership and the liberating effect? And I when I was going back through, I was like, well, what else did we release this year? I forgot that we had a whole 12-step themed recovery podcast over the course of the last 12 months.
Exit
I was like,
12?
Oh my gosh, was that this year too?
Yep,
so
it was.
Yeah, that was just a ton of fun. And then there's a whole page if you somehow missed our podcast with Brad and Ramon or the audiobook. I made sure that we included a whole page about Ramon Raccoon and the sequel to Ramon Raccoon. I guess not quite a sequel. It's not about Ramon. It's about Sam Sea Lion.
Yeah.
Ozzy has been drawing so many pictures of sea lions every day, just nothing but sea lions over and over again.
Nice.
And Sam is actually one of our peer support professionals that works in the Jeff's Path program. And so he's a graduate of Vita Nova. I'm really, really excited for people to see you know, this next book and see the project continue, because the feedback that we've gotten for, you know, our first dive into the recovery children's book, I don't know.
Genre.
I would say genre, but I was like, well, I haven't really seen anything else like this anywhere before, right?
No,
and that's why we developed that partnership with Brad and really wanted to find a way to be a part of this project, because I haven't seen it anywhere else. So
it's beautiful.
So exciting.
For those who don't know, the books are recovery based and talk about you know, recovery, faith, courage, dealing with trauma, you know, walking through difficult situations and distorted thinking, recognizing distorted thinking. And there's a book event on the 28th of
21st. It'll actually be before this comes out.
Oh, it will?
If we're holding it, yeah.
Okay, okay. So we'll miss that. But the books are delightful, and we've had so many parents and friends excited about mm-hmm. them, that I hope the kids like them as much as their parents do.
Yeah, for sure. We talk about our recovery services on the next page, and one more thing about Behind the Mask of Ramon Raccoon is that in September... last year, Brad was one of our speakers. The last couple of years, we've had 2 nights at Black Birch Books that we've done recovery-themed events. And this year, Brad is coming back, but we will have, hopefully, by then, 3 books that we are able to give out at that book signing and book reading. So definitely stay tuned to, you know, our social media and make sure that when that date comes out that you RSVP early so that you can get a copy of, I think it might be an echidna-based book at that point. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what the timeline looks like. But we do talk a lot about the Jeff's Path program and the move out to Big Lake. There's actually a picture sitting of Brian sitting at our kitchen table with the huge living room in the background. It's just such a... It's been really cool to see and talk with the folks that are in treatment right now that come into the building for Supper Club. And I was a little bit worried because change is scary. You know, they were at our original location and, you know, moving is I think, very intimidating. Change is very intimidating, especially for folks that have so much else going on that are just trying to recover and heal and work on themselves. And I was honestly a little bit surprised because that first day, they came in and I was like, hey, how's the move going, guys? Like, and it was like, oh my gosh, it's awesome. Like,
yeah,
this is incredible.
I
am so excited. We have an air hockey table. The living room, I spent a lot of time over there moving furniture and doing all, you know, we had a bunch of staff members over there just scrambling, trying to get it set up as quickly as possible once we had the opportunity to get three more beds so that we could have up to 12 people there.
Yep, and expanded our capacity.
And have more space for groups and for, you know, just activities. When you're spending so much time in one space, you don't want it to be cramped, right? You want it to be healthy and safe. And that big window in the living room, when it's clear, you have a view right out over Big Lake, and then Mount Denali is just framed right in the middle of it. It's incredible.
Nice. I think it's really important to recognize that the expansion and adding beds to the Jeff's Path program was specifically because we had estimated that we would have maybe 60% capacity by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the year, our program was full.
We had a wait list.
Yeah. And we just said, you know what? 18 to 25-year-olds, you cannot have a wait list.
Nope.
They die on a wait list.
Yep.
And so we Isaac said, we scrambled. We redid our expanded our program, moved it out to a big place in Big Lake and now have the capacity to serve more youth. And so that was done by necessity and by a group of very committed and dedicated staff people who said, we do not want a wait list. We want to serve clients at the moment of their need because when they're ready, they're ready.
Yeah.
And if they're ready and we don't have something for them, we may never see them again. So
absolutely. The next two pages, I don't want to spend too much time on them because you can just watch all of these people talk and say more than just the little quotes that I put on the pages. But I talked with some of our staff and also some of our newer staff. I don't think that speaking of Sam, I didn't mean to blow up his spot. I forgot he's on this page.
Oh, yeah,
so
here
you can see Sam in that video that was out on our YouTube a couple weeks ago talking about you know, working here and working in the Jeff's Path program. Chrissy's one of our newer employees, just doing a fantastic job as a case manager. And Lou's been here for a couple years, but I don't think that we've had her on a bunch of stuff. As we, like, I remember when I first started here, like, we brought everyone in and had them record something, right? Because there was 20 of us, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we have double that. And I'm like, oh, man, Lou... We haven't had Lou on like anything. We need to have Lou on some stuff.
She's delightful.
Yeah.
She's
delightful. And our Supper Club volunteers, it was really cool too because we got a really nice cross section. So Rachel from the Matsu Health Foundation has come to, I think, 5 Supper Clubs now. The Health Foundation has served Supper Club once a month for like the last 6 months almost. And she was great to talk to. Gretchen, it was her first time serving Supper Club, and I was looking to get some folks to talk about it, and I was like, are you willing to talk for like a minute and a half about Supper Club and what you think? And she was like, oh, absolutely. So we had someone day one, someone that's been there for a couple months, and then Andy Nations of Good Shepherd Lutheran. We were their first organization that received food from their 5 Loaves, 2 Fish program.
That's correct.
And that started in 2014.
Yeah.
So they have been providing Supper Club for over a decade now, which is incredible.
Yep.
So there's a really nice cross section of our Supper Club volunteers.
I have a vivid memory of writing a very passionate letter of support for their request for funding to get that commercial kitchen up and running. And what we were saying was we need to feed homeless kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing that for over a decade. So thank you, the Good Shepherd and Five Loaves, Two Fish.
Yep. The last two pages, just our dates for our fundraisers this year. Golf. Golf's coming up in July.
Golf, golf. Right now, if you talk to Stacy golfing. Golf.
Yep. Rotary Uncorked, October 10th. And our Radiothon in partnership with Ohana Media, Friday, November 13th. Mm-hmm. But there's a bunch of other stuff that pops up as people. There's a really nice picture of the 5K this summer.
That was
out at Colony. So there's always some other stuff that takes place, events and fundraisers, and we encourage everyone to come to that, because I think as much as those fundraisers are important to kind of fill some gaps for us in when we have a vital need in a certain program or whatever it may be, it's also a really community centered and great atmosphere for fellowship, I think.
Yeah.
It's they're all more than just trying to raise money for the organization, right?
Yeah, we should give the Rotary a shout out. The Rotary Uncorked has been an event since 2012. it was started by a small group, Palmer Wasilla, Sioux Sittner Rotarians, and the Wasilla Rotary is Noon Rotary has really carried the ball the last 4 or 5 years, but we would not be here if it were not for our local Rotary.
We were just talking about this year's Rotary Uncorked today, actually, at the noon meeting. So
good.
I'm really excited right now. I think we're going to be doing a lot of work and trying to make this one of the most memorable Rotary Uncorks that we've had. So
nice.
Stay tuned for that. And there's some data on the back. I know we've talked about it all before, but again, it when I went back through and was like, what happened in the past 12 months since our last annual report? I it's incredible that was a project that came to fruition over the last 12 months. There's just been so much happening, and I think that this next year, as you know, hopefully we see a groundbreaking on the Carson Cottle Center in December.
Ribbon cutting.
We had the groundbreaking.
Yeah,
that was like 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago's annual report. Yes, as we have a ribbon cutting in December of this year, it's crazy to think that's going to be the case, and that makes me feel like it's going to be just as busy of a year at my house.
Well, I really wanted that last page. It is not the least, because the data, we really focus on outcomes here. We talk to a lot of people across the state and the nation who talk about the work that they do. Almost always they talk about outputs. We provided so many bed nights. We gave out so many pairs of socks. We provided so many food packs. We're talking about data that is life-changing, not only for the client, but for our community. Of the clients who received services the year prior, who opted to respond to our survey, which was 94 individuals, which was a significant number.
70% of unique enrollments chose to respond.
So that to me, it makes me happy. It really speaks to the kind of relationships that we have with our clients. They want to come back. They want to talk to us. They want to tell us that they're doing good. Out of those 94 individuals, 80% were still employed a year later, and 100% were housed. That, my friends, is how we end homelessness. Our vision statement is to end homelessness. That's how we do it. It's magic. And it's magic because the empowerment and the self-esteem and the belief in their own ability and that they deserve something more than being homeless really shines through when 80% are working and 100% are housed. How about that, Isaac?
I got nothing
Mic
else
drop.
To add to that.
Mic
yeah.
drop. Okay.
Take us out of here.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to the My House podcast. We are recording at the My House studio, and Ozzie Keener is our editor. Thank you, Isaac Smolden, for being a co-host. I'm Michelle Overstreet. Until next time.